All right, let's do it. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Log Blocks podcast. This is episode 35. Yes, 35. Wow. I double checked. Yes, 35. Episode 35, Avengers versus X-Men Battle Report. I am Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
And as the title says of this episode, we will be talking about Avengers versus X-Men. Yes, a Marvel book. We'll be talking about a Marvel book. Everybody sit down for a second. Take a deep breath in case you're verklempt or have the vapors.
And I clearly dialed into the wrong podcast.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. So I was surprised, too. So when I saw my notes and it's, holy crap, we're talking about Marvel. But anyway, this is a...
And even more surprising... You know who suggested this? Murray.
Murray did? Did you? Well, you know, and yeah, I think you did. And as a matter, you got me hooked on this. I think.
Woo-hoo.
I'm gonna have to start. I'm gonna have to do some writing jobs on the side to pay for all these comics. Which I'm not sure if I'm gonna stray away from the series or not. But anyway, yeah, this is what we're gonna be talking about: the big Marvel event. Anything you want to say before we get started?
I up until this week, based on the stuff that we're going to cover here in a minute, mm-hmm. and the number zero that came out last week, my confidence in this had plummeted. But
why is that?
Because none of the prequel stuff was very good. But this, but again, I don't want to get too far ahead of us. But
yeah,
okay. It was a concern, but have at it, my friend.
All right, we're going to start off with a little article that was on Newsarama called "Prepping for War." Now, I found this very helpful because, unlike Murray and Caleb, I'm not sure how far into Marvel they went, but the Avengers I haven't read since. And I never was really a big reader of it, but Busiek and Perez's run. I don't know how many years ago that was. And I didn't, you know, once Perez left, I read a little bit after Busiek, and when he left, I stopped reading, and I haven't read it since. X-Men, I was a big X-Men fan. Something happened, and I just got burned out on them and even traded in all my comics, which I regret because I'd kind of like to read them again. X-Men comics, everything Marvel, as a matter of fact, at one point for store credit when I was living up in Washington State, and I haven't read it in probably a good 10, 15 years. So this is very helpful for me. And
yeah, that Busiek Perez run was back in 2000.
Yeah, see, so that's been quite a while ago. Those are coming out in trade paperback now. I just got the second one from DCBS. The third is being solicited. If you try to get those first three in hardcover, they're like $300-$400 because it's way out of print. Anyway, on to it. Let's see what this little thing is. And this is going to be a very spoilerific podcast right up ahead. This particular article, it says in the front of it, if you're not caught up on Avengers and X-Men titles, this article is meant to do just that. Which means if you're not caught up and don't want to be, you should click over to a Newsarama article, which, you know, you might want to just skip this one and wait till next week when we'll be talking about DC again, more likely. Unless I can figure something else out. all right. Anyway, and I'm sure if you read the zero and the number one, this is all about the Phoenix. So, and this says, while this is the first overtime we've seen Hope manifest the Phoenix Force and been told in plain English that she's either the host or is a force made flesh. Note, Cable specifically chose to say is and not has is another possessive term. And, you know, if you don't know who Hope is, goes back to the Scarlet Witch. Apparently, several years ago, there was a House of M event, and she said, I don't know how it came up to that, but she went a little nutso and said, no more mutants. And basically, that took away the powers of all the mutants, and a big chunk of mutants, and then made it where no more mutant bursts were happening for a while.
Yeah, and yeah, it was 199 of them left. And
yeah.
Like, you know, Scarlet, for those who don't know, the Scarlet Witch is a former villain turned Avenger whose powers are reality manipulation.
Yes, she is the daughter of Magneto. Everybody knows who Magneto is. And she is a mutant herself. Now, I never did read that House of M storyline, but they call it the Decimation. That's what the mutants call it. So we'll get back to Hope. She was the first mutant birth in several years. Cyclops gave her – see, I haven't even read these comics, and I know this little bit just from watching things, you know. Gave it to Caleb and
Cable.
Cable, excuse me. Wrong C.
Same letters, wrong order.
Yeah, you don't have a daughter named Hope, do you, Caleb?
Not that no anyone's told me.
Okay, anyway. gave the baby to Cable, and at one point, Bishop, which we won't get into that, was chasing them through time. And basically raised her to the about the age she was, came back, yada, yada, yada. So that's who Hope is. And there, everybody thinks, coming crossover, Hope's true power was revealed. She showed the ability to replicate every mutant's abilities. And at the end of it all, in chapter 14, when the battle won, just before the five lights, the first five mutants since Scarlet Witch's spell, very nearly ended mutantism entirely, appeared on Cerebro's system. Hope walked in front of a bonfire and it turned into plumes of the Phoenix. And they talked about that a little bit.
And the Phoenix is?
The Phoenix is a cosmic force that decimates worlds, and it needs a physical host. I'm just doing this from memory. I'm not reading anything. And it's you know, Jean Grey's had it a couple of times. I think her daughter, the alternate universe version, Rachel Summers, had it for a while. It's bad. Big fiery bird of nastiness. Wipes out whole planets just for the hell of it. So
that was from the what we've talked about in one. I think it was one of our favorite, somewhat one of our three of us favorite some trade paperbacks was the Dark Phoenix Saga, which is that Chris Claremont and John Byrne created this entity. So.
That is a good one. A little echo. Hello. Anyway, echo. Where's that screwdriver at? Oh, well, here it is.
Okay.
There, how's that? Works every time. Anyway, so Scarlet Witch is back for good. The other major Marvel miniseries leading into AVX has recently wrapped Avengers and Children's Crusade, which brought former Avengers Scarlet Witch back to the forefront of the Marvel Universe. Now, I don't know what happened to her, but anyway, the lives of Scarlet Witch, which also happens to be Magneto's daughter, the Vision's ex-wife, and a member of the original incarnation of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and Hope Summers inextricably linked. I'm sorry about that. Hope was the first mutant born after the decimation that resulted from the House of M, where Wanda uttered the fateful words, "No more mutants." We talked about that. The Children's Crusade depicted an early conflict between the Avengers and the X-Men, who were divided over what to do with the resurfaced Scarlet Witch. The X-Men primarily blamed her for the devastation of the mutant population and sought to end her threat definitely, while the Avengers were more diplomatic. In the end of the 9-issue series, Cyclops eventually backed off while still telling Scarlet Witch that she will never be forgiven. And as seen in the preview to Avengers vs. X-Men, Cyclops definitely believes, as misguided as it may seem, the return of the Phoenix could mean the revival of the mutant race. As for Scarlet Witch, her next move will be seen in this week's Avengers vs. X-Men. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see.
That's kind of crazy, though. Like, why... I don't get why he feels that way. Because, like, he's never seen, I don't think, the Phoenix as it has it ever been a force of good? Like, he's seen it eat the broccoli people. He's seen it destroy Jean. I don't know how he's ever seen it.
I don't know. See?
Like, what's it ever been the force of reject? Like, what makes him think it's going to be?
I think it's the same... thing. Maybe I'm cribbing from Avengers versus X-Men, and I'm inadvertently, but like I am actually the use of the atomic bomb. It's like we've got it. It's going to be our our deterrent.
Yeah, he even says that so much. This is what we need to
So he's not saying it's a force for good. He's simply saying it's a force. You know, don't screw with us. We have our finger on the button. Or
yeah, whatever. I think he did actually say
that it's gonna restore, like it's gonna rebirth our mutants. It's gonna save them. It's gonna. I don't know. I seem to think I got the impression he thought it was gonna be a good thing.
Well, he's saying it has been a
It has sign, been a good thing, like when he got
sign,
rid of
yeah, her, a sign of renewal.
Stuck to for years. Can't break up with her. Can't divorce her. What am I going to do? Oh, I know. The Phoenix. We'll let her eat her.
He says here, and he's talking to Cap, one could argue that the Phoenix coming here in the right vessel is maybe mutant kind's last best hope. And Cap goes, what? And he says, with this is Bendis writing here, it's a force of rebirth, but maybe the rebirth of my people. Now, the only way, I don't know, I think, I'm not sure where he's getting it from. Can I say I'm still not used to seeing Namor standing with him?
It's right now, Marie, I agree with you, but I think it's going to go the direction of, again, mutually assured destruction. If you screw with us, hope's going to flip out and you're toast. And
yeah,
it's not I don't think he's not worried about the Avengers. He's worried about all the Trasks of the Marvel Universe.
Okay, so he's saying she's going to be the savior, possibly because she's like the biggest nuclear bomb ever, and
it's
going to destroy. Okay, I can buy that.
That's what I'm getting.
As you said, Chris, you haven't really been keeping up on the X-Men stuff, but Cyclops has gotten very militant lately.
Yeah, that part I gathered, because I read some stuff at one point, and I know about Utopia. That's like, Magneto's asteroid in space. It got sunk, I think, and he brought it back up, and that's their, little sovereign nation.
Yes.
And I think Namor had something to do with that, too.
Yes.
I just know bits and pieces. But, that has to do with the schism that happened a while back, which it talks about next.
Can I step back here for just a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you talked about Children's Crusade, and there's an interesting quote here. I'm quoting Newsarama. It says, "The X-Men primarily blamed her for the devastation of the mutant population." Okay, she's not primarily to be blamed.
She is to blame. Yes, I know. I thought that was interesting.
I don't know who wrote that sentence, but
yeah,
or who they were quoting. If they were quoting Bendis, or if they were quoting Brevoort or whatever. But my God. She is to blame. She lost her mind. She killed her husband. She killed Ant-Man. She killed Hawkeye. She destroyed the mutant population. She is.
I'd forgotten about all that.
How is it they go, okay? It reminds me of when Hal Jordan came back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, you were possessed by a bad thing. We shall let it pass. It's like, dude.
Isn't that what they're saying, though? Like, aren't they saying – I didn't read Children's Crusade, but didn't they say that Dr. Doom was somehow involved and he was kind of manipulating her or something?
Oh, God.
But again, that comes back to the parallax Green Lantern thing. I mean, it's almost identical. Hal Jordan destroyed the Green Lantern Corps. He killed a lot of people. He almost killed the Earth. For goodness sake, with the Sun Eater type thing.
No, that wasn't his fault. He saved the Earth.
Oh, whatever.
He did. He reignited the sun and then died doing it. So, I mean, that doesn't. I know what you're saying.
And funny, we should be talking about resurrection on Easter, but that's just,
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, since AVX was first announced in early December 2011, fans have wondered exactly what will constitute the quote-unquote X-Men for the purpose of the story. After all, thanks to the 2011 miniseries X-Men Schism and the resulting Regenesis, they're no longer unified, with Marvel's mutants sharply divided among geographical and philosophical lines. Thanks to an incident involving Idi Okonowo, one of the Five Lights, the first new mutants found since Hope, Wolverine concluded that Cyclops has been acting too militaristic, as you duly noted there, Caleb, and ultimately endangering the lives of young mutants they were trying to protect. So Wolverine, along with the original X-Men Beast, who is also an Avenger, see that? Everybody's in all the teams. They just want to just have a united, just one big, you know, anyway. and Iceman plus Kitty Pryde, Rogue, Gambit, Cannonball, Rachel Gray, and more moved across the coast from Utopia.
And the rest are here.
Moved, let's see, from the coast from Utopia back to the X-Men's old stomping grounds of Westchester, New York. Wolverine founded the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning, naming after Cyclops' dead wife being the ultimate diss. Yes, that's true. Which I didn't know she was dead again.
You didn't? Oh, yeah.
No. I didn't know until I read that Wolverine and X-Men's like, what, she's dead again? Which I actually knew. I knew that when I read Josh Whedon's Astonishing X-Men, when I found first page, he's in bed with the White Queen. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, anyway. Grant Morrison killed her again, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Well, you know. Okay, and here's some more confusing stuff, which it says next section. Oh, wait, where are we? Okay. Based on previews, I didn't finish the other promotional images and early interviews. We know that Cyclops is leading the X-Men charge in AVX. Wolverine's loyalty remains a question mark, since not only has he been on the outs with Scott Summers as of late, but he's also an Avenger himself now for years. That's what I'm saying. That's, you know, everybody's Avenger. Whether or not he or his colleagues at the Jean Grey School fall in line with the rest of his species, favor Captain America's side, or perhaps represent a third entity entirely, all remain key questions going into the series. And here's some other confusing stuff. The Vision is back, Storm is Avenger, and other news. Recently, both of the Brian Michael Bendis written main Avenger series, Avengers and New Avengers, have been consumed by Norman Osborn's revenge plot, which we don't think leads directly into AVX in an overt fashion, and other than ensuring, okay, recently Storm, one of the most prominent enduring X-Men characters, joined the Avengers, and though Bendis has said in the past that he didn't base the decision off of Avengers versus X-Men, he acknowledged that it does dovetail nicely. Storm has also stuck around Utopia with Cyclops, so much like the Wolverine, the question exactly which side she'll choose will remain question in Avengers versus X-Men number one, which that was pretty quick fix. Tony Stark has managed to bring the Vision, a robotic synthoid and one of the most iconic Avengers members, back to life following his death in Avengers Disassembled. Was that Scarlet Witch that did that?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I got that in that one thing. That demise was... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and he's been resurrected as a real douche. Just FYI.
I didn't read Avengers 24.1.
No, I just Avengers vs. X-Men Zero. He's a
yeah, that's right. Yeah. He did well, you know. Demise was, but okay, never mind.
No, in his defense, he was the only one who was like probably a realistic.
After all the shit you said she'd done, she killed the Wasp and.
No, that was Thor.
It was Thor who killed Wasp. No, it was Klor who killed Wasp.
That was the clone Thor. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, well, let's get off of that then. But anyway, the demise that was caused due to Scarlet Witch's mental breakdown, and that will surely make things awkward whenever they run into each other next, which, blah, 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 we just talked about. They used to be married. That's another awkward. Awkward. Cyclops versus Captain America. In 2006, thematically similar event, Civil War, the conflict between the pro-registration and anti-registration sides boiled down to two men at the front, Iron Man and Captain America. For AVX, this looks like a similar dynamic might exist. Oh, yeah, that's a big duh. And the thing is, they're wondering is, will Wolverine do like Spider-Man did in Civil War and change sides, blah, blah, blah. So that's the prep. And I even learned some more info that I didn't know.
There's quite a few crossover characters. I mean, you mentioned Namor. I mean, he I can't imagine him sticking. It's going to be tough for him because he's known Captain America since the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also a very, very loyal person, and he's already sided himself with the X-Men recently. We've got Storm, who's clearly going to go back towards the X-Men if it comes down to it. I mean, that's an easy one.
Yeah. They show that in AVX.
Do they? I didn't think she was in there.
Oh, maybe that was in the Infinite comic then.
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember seeing her at all.
I don't remember seeing her either. But and I think that who else? We got Beast. I actually would see Beast going Avengers rather than X-Men, to be honest with you.
I've always seen him as an Avenger. It's just when I grew up and when I read him, he was always the big blue bouncing dude on Avengers, and I don't think I ever connected him with the X-Men until years and years later when I started reading back issues and stuff. So to me, he is an Avenger.
Yeah. Hanging out with Wonder Man and, And then, I didn't connect him. I mean, he wasn't really an X-Men to me until X-Factor. So, even with the Dark Phoenix saga, I know he played a brief part in that, but, who else? And then Wolverine. I think he'll go X-Men, but that's
eventually.
Maybe. Who else? Who else has got crossover potential between these two teams? Help me out here.
Well, let's see. That's it.
Well, it's actually not that many. I mean, I guess kind of putting a period on that conversation, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where did I see her? I know I saw her in something.
Quicksilver. I think Quicksilver's been an X-Men, or he was at least with X-Factor.
Yeah.
Quicksilver? I don't know about that. Where did I see that?
He's one that could be both, because he's been an Avenger forever, but he's also very much a mutant. And.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's very pro mutant. I mean, that's his shtick.
Yeah, him and Magneto, didn't they?
Yeah. I think maybe I have maxed out my X Avengers potential here. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, I'm done. See you guys later.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are we covering that Avengers X-Men number zero, do we want to talk about that, or do we want to talk?
Yeah,
about...
let's look at that one because.
Okay.
Because it was so bad. I mean, because it was. No.
You know what? I didn't mind it. I kind of liked.
No, it was okay.
There were things that I didn't like. I thought, like you said, Vision was. He was harsh. Poor Scarlet Witch.
She kicked his ass. I mean, you know, in front of his friends. Wouldn't you be busy?
The bitch done me wrong.
So, and I mean, if she would flipped out, see, and I'm thinking not reading that Avengers Crusade might have something to do with it, but it's just like they everybody else has already forgiven her.
I guess they needed to have someone.
Yeah, even the Vision says it, and I have empathy for the manipulations that you may have endured.
Okay, anyway. I'm coming to like him more the more we talk about this. I rescind my douche comment. And, he's the most realistic one so far. It's like she killed a bunch of people, including me, and I may be just a robot, but then him crying. Oh my god!
Well, he's obviously in love with her still, so. Which, you know, whether he had emotions or not, but, okay, there's some little tidbits. I sent a link to you guys, the AVX postgame report that Newsarama did. They asked about seeing the Phoenix Force in Avengers X Sanction number 4.
Which was horrible.
Which I didn't read, but apparently it showed it in that. But it says it took place after what happened in AVX Zero. And Brief Fort says, you're jumping to a perfectly understandable conclusion here. But X-Sanction number 4 and AVX take place in order in which they were shipped. Which apparently in that, she used a Phoenix-like effect to burn out the techno-organic virus he's had in his body since infancy.
Cable, right, yes, well.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't like that miniseries in the least bit. I like Ian Churchill's art. He's decent. Yeah. Jeff Loeb is who the writer was. Has done some good stuff, but that series was such a money grab.
Now, why was Cable attacking them?
Oh, because he came from the future. And he thought, he had seen the world devastated, and he thought it was going to be the Avengers' fault that the world was going to be devastated. So he was going back in time to prevent them from doing something stupid. I think killing Hope or capturing Hope or something like that. And he went off and started trying to kill Avengers or capture and destroy Avengers and stuff.
That always works out so well.
It was not 4 issues worth of material, I will tell you that.
Okay.
It was maybe a special or a 2-parter in an X-Men book or something, mm-hmm. or even an Avengers book. I don't know. It was not good. The dialogue was good. I will give it that. I mean, not to nitpick too much, but Jeff Loeb has a good feel for voices, mm-hmm. and he nailed them all really well, but. It was not an enjoyable series. So,
okay.
In no way other than solidifying that Hope has the access to the Phoenix Force, it didn't really feel like it was a prequel to this Avengers X-Men thing. We all knew. I think everyone who reads X-Men or reads Generation Hope knew that she was connected to.
Yeah.
Phoenix already.
I found it interesting that the news of their ending that Generation Hope title kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Well, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah.
I don't read it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that might be why. Murray's still there, Murray?
Murray
dropped off.
I did. I'm back.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it says here, things worth noting, which some of them I don't think are worth noting, so I'll skip over those. The Wakandian scientist MODOK attacks is named Dr. Udaku, which is the same last name as the ultimate version of Black Panther.
Ooh.
I thought this was funny. Cyclops' jetpack has a long and storied history, dating back to Greg Land's cover of 2008 Uncanny X-Men number 500. At that time, it was just seemed like an awesomely random detail, but now it's a story point in a major Marvel event. Circle complete.
A long history since 2008.
Yeah. As pointed out on blog at Newsarama, the Isotope Bank and Trust happens to share a street address with Isotope, a celebrated San Francisco comic book store. Let's see. Jason Aaron has written his stories, Villains, the Secret Serpent Society, before in 2009's Wolverine number 73. Woohoo! Anyway, that was the big question I talked about seeing the Phoenix Force. That's what they got. So, overall, what do we think here?
You didn't
care for it, Caleb.
I did not, no.
I didn't mind it. I liked the second story. I could see how the second story tied into mm-hmm. AVX pretty clearly. Plus Serpent Society, that's always fun.
Yeah.
So like the themes that they were working with in the second story, you can see how they're going to be touched on and developed in AVX. The first story, I don't quite see the connection yet. And maybe we're not supposed to. Like I get mm-hmm. Scarlet Witch is supposed to be, I guess, a power player in this upcoming conflict. But really all the first story does is just kind of establish her, I guess, her status quo right now, which is, I guess, fine. There wasn't, I mean, it's got MODOK, so that's always fun. Who doesn't like a big giant robot head floating around?
So the perfect story for you would be MODOK and the Serpent Society as the villain.
Totally, yeah, they could have joined them up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it was more of a character piece.
Oh, and you could call the story The Serpent's Head. Anyway, totally. Go ahead.
Oh, put on God.
All right.
Very well. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, I don't really see how it connects to AVX yet, but I guess it's just to set up Wanda as this poor sad sack. Mm-hmm. And we will see where that goes, I guess. Yeah. I guess it's going to be important. Perhaps. But I didn't mind the zero issue. Like it for $4 you got two stories and you got some good character moments and you didn't get any big empty pages and stuff. So I'm okay with it. I thought it was all right. It was all right.
Now, technically, the Infinite Comics thing with Nova is an in-between these two.
It takes place during AVX number one.
Well, it's actually really – yeah, I guess you could say that because leading up to him, Nova crashing into the Empire State Building.
Chrysler Building.
Chrysler Building? Excuse me.
Chrysler Building.
Didn't know
well, that. Well, to the New Yorkers out there, it's an important distinction. To the rest of us, it could be either one, I suppose.
I don't know enough about the skyline to know the difference. I could have swore I saw a scene where they're getting ready to talk about this stuff, and Storm was there in the room, and she gets up and leaves.
You are imagining the future.
I must have saw – that was a preview I saw. That's what it was. It was a preview of it on some site. But anyway, okay. Post-game for AVX number one. This spoiler is big time. Okay, the big question, according to this, is Nick, it's okay. Newsarama asked Nick, it would be, and we just got through talking about this, but it would figure that if anyone was going to be negative about the Phoenix arrival, it would be Cyclops, given how he has witnessed firsthand the kind of destruction it can wreak and what type of effect it can have on people close to him. Yet clearly he's quite bullish about the whole thing, thinking it could jumpstart the mutant race once again.
Bully.
Yeah, I don't really quite get that either. What's driving Scott's optimism here? Is it fueled by what he saw in Avengers Extinction number 4, the Phoenix being Hope, healing Cable of the techno-organic virus, or might Cyclops be acting a little less logical than usual and a little more desperate, which that's what I think it is. And they're talking to Nick Lowe, the quote-unquote consulting editor of Avengers vs. X-Men. So his
Here's a theory.
All right, go ahead.
Resurrection is the big Phoenix theme, right? That's the thing.
Oh, about that makes sense.
And he thinks that somehow the Phoenix Force will resurrect Jean Grey.
Oh God, hasn't that been done? Oh, that would be terrible. Let's hope that doesn't happen. How many times can you bring somebody back? I mean,
I'm putting that out as one of my predictions for a story end, or at least a story point for this series.
Well, I've seen some solicitations for other issues that somebody might get resurrected, but I'm not sure if it's Jean Grey.
Hey, now.
Anyway, his answer is Cyclops' faith, and that's what it is here, was forged by the events of the last few years of X-Men books. The general hope of the future of mutants took a big hit with the decimation. Things were bleak, and it looked like Cyclops, as leader of the X-Men, thus mutants really, was going to be captain, going down with the ship. And then the girl who becomes Hope Summers is born, and she has red hair and green eyes, and she heals Rogue. Did she? I didn't know that.
Yes, she must have at some point.
And that's right. You guys were saying that Rogue doesn't have that problem with – touching people anymore, does she?
No. Okay. But that was okay. I think that was solved by Professor X, but that's I don't remember her saving Rogue, but that was that was 16 storylines ago. So
yeah, it just says and she heals Rogue. That's it. And he sees Cable's faith in her. Then Second Coming happens, and she seems to restart the mutant race, which I have a trade of that that I haven't read yet, so I'm not sure where that's coming from either. Let's see. And people see the signs of the Phoenix in her, which I do remember reading one of those Cable issues when he first had her as a baby, and you could see that Phoenix symbol in her eyes, which they mentioned in one of these.
Back to the Second Coming thing. Initial way that her powers manifested herself was that she could ignite mutant powers. If someone had the potential for mutinosity or whatever.
Oh, I see.
She would touch them and, oh, I'm a mutant.
Okay. Interesting.
And now she is, you know.
A dupe.
A duper.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And things for mutants are still bleak, but if the Phoenix can restore their mutant race to feasibility, he doesn't have certainty that everything is going to be right, but he has faith, and faith is a powerful thing. See.
Have faith.
And I have to say, I'm siding with the X-Men on this. The way Cap just came down there and said, hey, you know, hand her over, you know. And the first thing I thought was, F you, Cap. And then, kawam, with the big old blast. And I just love John Romita Jr.'s art, even today. I mean, I really do.
I liked lots of it. There were a couple of panels that seemed really weird, like really weirdly posed.
Well, some of that might have to do with that AR tech, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? For the most part, he did a great job. It was when Cap and Cyclops started talking, and he's got Cyclops standing like this underwear model, and he's got Cap holding his belt, talking to Cyclops, but looking out into the ocean or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That just it seemed like a weird panel to me. Like, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm not going to make eye contact. This is a super important conversation, but it's really important I look at the waves right now while I deliver this news to you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that was.
And then he does like the two finger gun point.
Yeah, sure he does.
Which was that was just goony. But you know what? For the most part, those are my only two quibbles. I thought, yeah, the art was pretty strong throughout.
Just I think we need to refer back to our Star Wars that whoever pulls the lightsaber first is going to be the loser, and Cyclops fired first. So,
yes, he did. And you know, there's a question: where the hell did that helicarrier come from? It mentions that in one of those things. Okay, that's another thing. How the hell did the Red Hulk, which I've got the trade where he shows up, but when did he become an Avenger? And why? That's General Thunderbolt Ross, right?
Yes.
Yes. He became.
And there's Daredevil over there.
Because Bendis wanted him to be an Avenger.
Okay, well, that's good enough.
I think.
Just like he wanted Luke Cage to be an Avenger, and he wanted Doctor Strange to be an Avenger, and Spider-Woman to be Avengers. They're Avengers. He's an Avenger. They needed a Hulk. It's like in the commercial. They have a Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You seen that latest one?
The TV spot? No, I have not yet.
There's a scene and you see Cap standing there, and he looks over at the Hulk, and he points at him and says, "Hulk smash!" And then it shows the Hulk's face, and he smiles, and then he jumps off and beats the crap out of something. So anyway, let's see. They're big hits. Worth noting, its issue settles the issue of where Wolverine will end up, for now at least, though there's always a chance he could pull Spider-Man, blah, 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 and go for the other. Intro page showing the Avengers X-Men lineups is rather lopsided, right? Sure, it seems to be limited to characters actually appearing in the issue, but it sort of makes X-Men look like big-time underdogs right off the bat. Let's see.
Okay, a couple of questions I had. First, mm-hmm. When did Captain Britain become an Avenger?
He's a secret Avenger.
Oh, he's a secret. Well, he's very secret as he's being displayed for the President of the United States. Okay.
Yes, that's that team. They started that little when Cap wasn't Cap there for a while.
Steve Rogers, right?
Yeah, he was just the super soldier top cop thing. That was, you know, the first couple issues of New Avengers. But yeah, he's a secret Avenger.
And then
Was Valkyrie.
Which, yeah, I see her down there, and I actually had seen her in some other Avengers story. But, and I thought the Phoenix Force needed to be bonded with someone in order to be the big destructive force. But in this, they're painting it out that it's destructive whether it's bonded with someone or not.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, like it zapped that whole planet at the very beginning there.
Yeah, the little no-faced people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was like the host is what? Controlled it some, but
yeah, and I thought that too. But again, they got the whole thing with Nova, and again, destroying that planet of no face spiny, what the heck, whatever the hell they are.
Mm-hmm. Look like scarecrows.
They're red shirts. That's what they are.
Yeah, they are. They're planet worth.
They're farmers. Of course, they're gonna die.
Let's see. It also says
see, now, if they had been hunting or trapping, they would have totally survived.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have survived, and they would have thrived.
They would have trapped that Phoenix, man.
Let's see.
They're gonna put her in a barn and then lock the door and be in denial. Wait a minute. That's a different comic. Sorry.
Totally different.
Six long, long, long weeks later, someone will kick the barn door down.
And release the Phoenix Force. Oh, no, wait a minute. By the way, I ordered the compendium for that, just so you know. So eventually I will be catching up with you guys.
A compendium of what?
Walking Dead.
Of the Phoenix Force.
Oh,
the Phoenix Force, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was reading. I didn't catch that last thing you said, so... My apologies.
I went off on I went off on an incredible tangent there.
Okay. Let's see what else we get out of this.
Can we talk continuity issues between Avengers X-Men number 1 and Avengers X-Men Infinite, or should we finish talking about Avengers X-Men number 1?
Let's finish off number 1 here.
Yeah. Okay.
What else is there? There were a lot of big empty pages in this book. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, that first page, you get a word. Then you get two pages of no words. Then you get two more pages of no words.
Ugh. I see what you're saying.
Like...
But...
And then you get a couple more pages of, like, a word bubble.
If you use that alternate reality or augmented reality, whatever the hell they call it, app... from your phone or iPad,
yes.
There is talking there. In fact, on one page, the editor will walk across the screen and talk to you. And if you look at the cover with it, the cover comes to life. There's lightning. So I haven't done it yet.
You know what? I tried the AR thing, and I found it super clunky. Like I had to hold my iPad just right, and I couldn't always find the
sweet spot.
Yeah, it was it was a lot of work to get, I don't know, Axel Alonso walking across my page, or I mean, which is fine. I mean, it was a commercial, great. So I twisted my wrists to get a commercial.
It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, if I were getting something really, really good out of it, I would deal with, like, the carpal tunnel. But but really, I got to see a couple of pictures that look better in color, in black and white, and I got to hear a commercial or two. And I think Bendis spoke, and I can't remember what he said. I can't remember if he was giving us insight into what went on the page that he was talking about, or if it was just more... Mm-hmm. Hype stuff, but
okay. One question: is Hope his Scott's daughter?
No, it's his granddaughter.
It's Cable's daughter, then.
Well, it's not Cable's daughter either. It's not even Cyclops. Didn't we cover this in another episode?
I don't remember if we did.
No, Hope. Okay, so they find Hope up in this decimated town up in Alaska.
Right, I remember that.
30 Days of Nights, okay?
Yeah.
So the whole town gets devastated, and they blame mutants, and there's one child there. They grab the child, discover she's a mutant, send her off with Cable, who basically, you know, becomes the father figure for Hope. So right. She calls, you know, it's her dad, raised her from childhood, you know, just like
okay. And he goes, that's why she's her last name is Summers, is because, you know, they basically adopted her.
Right, and Cable is in fact the child of Jean Grey. Or no, not Jean Grey. Of what was her name? Madeline Pryor, and Scott Summers.
Right, that I remembered.
So then he gets sent to the future because that's the only place they can control that techno-organic virus. Mm-hmm. So technically, she is his granddaughter.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh my god, this stuff is confusing.
Yeah, it is.
And then there was Clore. No, I'm sorry.
God, yeah. Okay, now you wanted to talk about the continuity thing.
Yeah, the continuity. There was continuity issues between.
I always say that.
Between the incredibly cool and awesome Avengers X-Men number one Infinite. And Avengers X-Men number one. First of all, did I mention how cool and awesome and incredibly neato golly gee whiz?
But I'll be devil's advocate. I thought it was cool too, but a comment from our Facebook group. It's just a PowerPoint presentation, Caleb. Why is it so cool?
Maybe it is. You know what? I suck at PowerPoint. I will be the first one to say that. I have never put a PowerPoint presentation together, and I've watched them. And on a certain level, Ivan, I think, is who was saying that, was absolutely right. It essentially is. It's just, you know, switching screens like that or updating the screen.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it done in a comic book like
yeah,
this.
Yes, well, that okay, and that there's a reason for that. When they put the comics digital, you're just basically taking scans or, you know, whatever, those images that they use. And it's meant to be read like a book. They're, instead of making something that's a book and then trying to translate it to the screen, they're actually writing the comic with the computer interface as its guide and thinking about that when they write it. And from taking my, you know, comic class, you know, we had to do our 5-page story that was our final. We had restrictions, you know, first is 5 pages, and you can only use no more than 6 panels per page. And that made you choices. You had to make choices of how you presented it, right? If I could have done a 9-panel grid, my story would have been a lot different. And with that in mind, that's what they're doing here. They're thinking about the medium and using it, you know, and if you look at it and you – that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it won't translate to a printed book.
No,
is what it won't do. It is 100% exclusive to computer presentation.
Exactly, and that's what they're trying to do there.
And just the way that you got one panel where you see the little star in the background. This is right at the beginning of the story. Mm-hmm. Then you know, and then you click forward. It's the exact same panel, but that star's a little brighter, and then a little brighter, and then bam, he comes crashing through. And again. It's what the motion comics were had hoped to be, but this just does it.
Well, yeah. See, and that why that failed is they took the comic book and then tried to make a PowerPoint presentation out of it.
Yeah, they cut and pasted up, and it just didn't work. And this is
yeah.
I was blown away. I didn't know what to expect, and it exceeded my lack of expectation. So, it was great, and again. The writer, what is his name? Who was the writer on that?
Mark Quaid.
Oh, that's it. I've heard his name.
I think he has a lot to do with it. Well, I enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah, okay.
He knows how to do this kind of stuff. If you've read his Daredevil work, which I think it got Eisner Award nominated, some of the stuff he did in with the panel layout and stuff like that, you can't just write and then say, okay, here's a 9-panel grid, and I'll just take my paragraphs and put it in each. You got to have that in mind when you do this stuff. Not that I'm an expert at it, but you know what I'm saying. I at least know the process that they go through.
Yeah.
And he's put a lot of thought into doing this in such a way that it flows on the screen. So, yep.
Well, and that's that, and you have to work with your artist a heck of a lot.
Like, oh, absolutely.
He's and, probably got the story kind of mapped out, but he's letting Stuart Immonen really figure out how that story is going to get told. So it's very much made for the screen, and it's designed like the way that I think the way the story is being told is much more on the artist, and then the writer comes in with the words after it's kind of all laid out. I think like it I can't imagine. Well, I mean, I guess you could script it out, do this panel, and then do this layout over top, and then do this. I guess, but I would think that it's probably much more of a plot that he gives to the artist, who then translates it in the best way that it can be.
Yeah,
comes back in probably.
And I hope they don't abuse this. I hope that this is something they do, you know, once a month. You know, maybe two times a month or something like that. On a really, really limited basis, because, you know, to Ivan's point, you know, it is essentially, you know, just, you know, flipping the, you know, like you used to make those little flip books.
Right.
Like that. It could get old after a while, or in the wrong hands, it could be stupid.
Well, yeah. And it's also a way, because, like, when you look at a page, you know, if you use that guided view that Comicology has, copyright on that, by the way, where you can look at a panel at a time, that this is also a way to force the reader to read this story the way you want. I mean, because, you know, we've all seen some of those old comics that have the arrows pointing to the panels. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and they just did it so sloppy that was the only way to do it, to make people understand. And like J.H. Williams' Batwoman, some of that art gets that way too. You just, okay, where's next? You know, where's the next panel? And it's a way to make sure that they are following it the way you want them to.
Absolutely. You know, I just setting aside the continuity issues, which I could get into those in a second here. It was well written. The art was really nice. The presentation blew me away. I opened it up and it's like, what am I, and then it just slowly the slow build, and like you said, it was like watching a movie. It kind of forced you to follow the story. You couldn't jump in. You had I'm babbling a little bit just because.
I know what you're saying. You're trying to make us understand why you like it, and it's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, I recommend anybody who's listening to this who has not purchased it, which by the way, I think it was 99 cents. So do.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, and. You know, setting aside, you know, it's not for everyone's taste. I mean, Ivan is 100% entitled to his opinion. I do not begrudge him that. It's wrong.
Yeah, but now if you get AVX number one and it's got the digital code in there, you get a copy of the book, which I have yet to work successfully, by the way. And you can only do it in the Marvel app. You can't do it in the Comixology app. But once you do it in the Marvel app, you can read it through the Comixology app. It's confusing, I know. But you can get this for free, which I didn't know that, and I've spent the 99 cents. But
oh, no. Yeah, no, I bought the paper copy and then used my digital code. And but I wasn't sure where to find the free – like when I started looking through the Marvel thing, I could see, oh, well, there it is for 99 cents, but I think I'm supposed to get it anyway.
Yeah. They need to work on that a little. It took me a couple of pages clicking to get, after I logged on to Comicology's website, to get it to show that I could just read it, you know. Yeah. And there is now on their website, at least, there is the series AVX, you know, Avengers versus X-Men, and that is in there now. So if you go to that series in there and you're signed in and done that, got the process, that should be listed in there to read. So.
Yeah, no, it. I found it, and I don't know if it's because I was reading it on the iPad and not the computer, but the first time I read it and I was clicking through, like the settings were all set automatically on the iPad. So like there's that little, there's the little info box that says have transition set to 0.3 of a second or something. And like all of that was already set. Like,
And as I clicked Murray, microphone.
Yeah. Oh, am I covering it?
Oh, there you go. All right, go ahead.
Alrighty.
Now, well, what were you saying?
Anyway, I was saying, like, originally the transitions were really clunky. Like, I would, rather than just layering the next panel on top of the previous panel, I would get, like, it would show up as a new panel, and my eyes weren't sure what to look at, and then I'd realize, oh, I've already read this. What the heck? But after clicking out and looking at the settings again and then going back in, the transitions worked really well. So like I don't know what there is that I needed to do that wasn't already done, but once the transitions worked, yeah, it was really cool seeing everything just kind of layer one panel on top of the next to see the story told. I liked it. I thought it was all right. I liked it a lot.
And I think the settings thing is because there's probably people a lot more sophisticated than any of us at this that go in and screw with the settings because they want things to read at a certain pace and transition at a certain pace. And, you know, it's like, no, this was designed to be seen a certain way. It's like, you know, you can't watch a movie that's designed to be a certain number of frames per second at a slower frame per second or a faster frame per second.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna sound or look stupid. So, but continuity issues, there were a couple.
All right, let's talk about that.
Well, the first one, in AVX number one, they made a big deal out of Nova crashing through an airplane. I mean, it was a whole series of empty panels, as Murray would say.
Yes.
But that was okay. Like in there, it was okay.
Yeah, I see. I just caught what you said, what you're saying now.
Yeah, there was no airplane in the Nova special. He avoids the helicopter.
Right.
But he did not in fact crash to an airplane. And then there were, when he actually is discovered, he's crashed into this building, he's lying, you know, dying, whatever. And four of the Avengers show up. It's four different Avengers between the two books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have Captain America and Hawkeye, but in the one it's Black Widow and Ms. Marvel or something, and the other two other female characters, and it's like, dude, come on, easy continuity issues. And then some of the dialogue was different between the two, but
yeah, he hit a different building too.
No, he hit the Chrysler building in both.
Did he?
Yeah, he even says in the Nova special, I'm going to call it that just for the fact that I can't do that
that's
whole
fine.
Freaking title.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
he even says he says something about crashing into the Chrysler.
Oh, that's right.
And they don't name it in Avengers X One.
Okay, wait a second. Just hold on here.
I can do that.
You're talking about the buildings on page. Let's see. If you count when the story starts, it's right after. Yeah, it's like it's the page where right after he hits the plane. You look. That is the Empire State Building. In AVX number one. Oh, problem with the call.
No, I'm here.
It's Murray dropped.
Oh, Murray dropped.
Okay, that has a straight tower with an antenna thing.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
That in the other, it's a totally different building.
You're right. I sit corrected.
Yeah, it is the Chrysler building in the he's off completely. But yeah, it is the Chrysler building in the thing, and he didn't hit a plane in the Nova special. as you call it. Hold on while we get the call back. Okay, while Murray is being drop off Skype boy right now, we can but yeah, it's a totally different thing. It's definitely – it reminds me of when do Infinite Crisis where you'd see those tie-in issues and, you know, there'd be yeah, he's off of the internet right now. Okay, anyway, while we wait for him to come back online.
Yeah, we can live without it.
It is completely, yeah, it's completely, you're right, and there's different Avengers standing there. It's,
yeah, so we got Novar, in the one it's Novar and Black Widow, and the other one it's Ms. Marvel and Iron Man. It's like, come on. And then he's got, and Hawkeye's got goggles on in one and no goggles in the other. And,
yeah.
You know, I know that's just an artist's choice, that one, but.
Yeah, which makes me wonder when these were written. And they're obviously written independent of each other.
And then,
there he is.
I did like in the Nova thing when his helmet identifies the four Avengers and then also the weapons that he's going to have to face.
Yeah.
It shows, you know, Iron Man's breastplate and Hawkeye's arrow and Captain America's shield.
While you were dropped off, we did...
You solved all those problems?
Yes, the
and world peace, and we cured AIDS, and awesome.
It is two different buildings. In AVX, it is Empire State Building. In the Infinite or Nova Special, as Caleb calls it, it is the Chrysler Building. And different Avengers show up at each one with him laying there too. So, and he didn't hit a plane in the online version. He missed the helicopter, but hit the building. But he did hit a plane in AVX. So,
and what a maroon! He says instead of saying just the word Phoenix, he decides to say it's coming.
Yeah,
say Phoenix. Done. We all know. We're story good.
Now, the only other question I had in Hawkeye in AVX, he says, "I thought he died."
Yes. Yeah,
now I think.
That I didn't know about it. Is that Richard Rider?
Yeah, Richard Rider and Star-Lord both bit it in one of those galactic stories that the DNA told.
I was probably Realm of Kings. I haven't read those yet.
Yeah, it was may have been that one or maybe the follow up. But yeah, they both died.
We don't know if this is actually Richard Rider then.
I don't think it is. I think this is a new they've talked about a new Nova showing up, and I think this is the new guy.
Okay.
Although we don't know one way or the other yet, because we don't know, and he's been very clear that he doesn't want his helmet taken off. So.
Yeah. Okay.
We may not know for another issue or two when they actually do take off his helmet and.
And which Cardinals is it? Is the baseball team or the football team? Come on.
I don't know. But, you know, if I was dying or about, you know, thought I was about to die, I don't know if I'd think about – it wouldn't be Snickers. It would be Doritos or pizza, you know. And I certainly wouldn't say SportsCenter. I'd probably say Star Trek maybe or something like that, you know. But or, you know, my dogs or my wife even.
Maybe. What's a dubstep? What's a dubstep? Anybody?
A what? A dust up?
No. Dubstep. You think about Snickers, dubstep, the Cardinals, everything.
Oh.
That's probably something the young hip kids are all into.
Oh, with their complicated shoes. Okay, I get it.
No idea.
All right, fair enough. Oh, man, read it backwards. Read the Nova thing backwards. It's pretty cool. Sorry. It's like when you were kids and they'd show the movie on the – and then they'd run it backwards without the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually really cool.
Oh, see, we can't do that in the classrooms anymore. I do. I sit remembering
– Yeah,
I remember stuff. Doing that in like grade five. You'd watch the film and then you'd tell the teacher to play it backwards, and they would because they had to fill like 20 minutes or whatever.
Yes.
We can't do that now.
you got to
backwards. Yes, it is a – According to this, dubstep is a genre of electronic dance music that originated in South London. Its overall sound has been described as tightly coiled productions with overwhelming bass lines and reverberant drum patterns, clipped samples, and occasional vocals. So pretty much white noise. Sounds like to me.
Sounds irritating.
Yeah, there's some clips here. The history from 1999 to 2000, the evolution of it. Yes.
This is like a hip dancer dude. Got it.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man, I'm looking at this thing again. There's a scene where he's coming towards Earth, and he's heading towards the helicopter. He gets closer to hip, at the top of the panel. He's getting bigger. The helicopter staying essentially the same. Then there's a third panel, mm-hmm. same panel with the helicopter. The coloring's different. It's frozen now, though, and he's closer at the top of the panel. I mean, I can't even give a page number because there are no page numbers on this thing, but absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah, he is getting bigger. They talk about that. I sent you guys a commentary track and that they talked to Wade and Quesada and one of those other editors, and he let Immelman pretty much go do what he wanted in this. So, yeah. Well, I like that, the way the focus thing does, too, on the different panels.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
Now, who is this guy that they've been talking about in those other interviews that they borrowed this concept from?
I really don't know.
No, that's okay. I'll look it up and I'll send out a link. But
okay.
Wow. So awesome juice. Awesome, really, really great stuff. This Nova thing, and I really enjoyed number one an awful lot. And like I said at the beginning of this thing, I was concerned after reading that that Cable miniseries as well as the number zero. And I even picked up, I looked at a shelf copy, of Children's Crusade number nine, and my hopes from when we've been talking about this over the last couple months, which were pretty high, were diminished greatly. And then I read this number one and this Nova thing, and just okay, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I have to admit I kind of am too. I haven't read Marvel in a while, and I kind of miss the X-Men, even though they're not anywhere close to what I remember from 10, 15 years ago. And maybe eventually I'll catch up on all that. I've been really looking into thinking about getting those Uncanny X-Men Masterworks trade, well, now that they're in trade instead of hardcover, and a little cheaper. So, you know, I do miss them.
It will be, I mean, oh, God. Yeah, I mean, they got 16 Avengers coming at Utopia here, along with, looks like S.H.I.E.L.D. is hanging out up there as well. Oh,
but, yeah, you look at who's on there. A lot of them, okay, like Hawkeye, for example. Okay, he's a brawler, basically. No powers. And then you got, where is it?
You got Black Widow, you got Black Panther.
Those aren't all that, well, except for Doctor Strange. They're not exactly heavy hitters. And you got Black Panther, Daredevil, Black Widow, Mockingbird. They're pretty much just humans. But then you look at who's on.
Ah, I figured it out.
What?
Sorry, I've been listening to you, but if I'm in guided view,
mm-hmm.
then I get the panels doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if I'm not in guided view, they come up. Everything comes up as a separate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when it's not, or I don't know, one way or the other. Yeah, so, I know what I'm doing now. I know how to read this thing now.
Okay.
So you get essentially 100 separate pages as opposed to that. That
yeah. Like every time they add a word bubble, they throw the old page back on, and then you get the new word bubble thrown in rather than
go to that. Oh, yeah, you got it. got to read it in that other way. I mean, it just...
I know. You know what? It really does make a difference, though, because the first time I read it, it wasn't in guided view, and I thought, I've seen this done better. It's like... And I've heard Wade talk about it so much better, but clearly it was just me.
Well, and maybe that was Ivan's problem. Maybe Ivan was reading it the same way that you did, and he needs to go in and adjust his setting, so to speak.
Yeah.
What is your major malfunction? Oh, my settings were off. I'm sorry. Yeah, totally.
But anyway, like I was saying, though, if you look who is on the X-Men side, you got, okay, Emma Frost, which she's a high-level telepath. You got Namor, you know, major ass-kicker. You got Cyclops, which, Cyclops, he's a pretty powerful energy beam, but Colossus was powerful before, but now he has a Juggernaut stuff.
But he's got no hair, so.
Well, that's true.
Weak.
And then you got Magneto, you know, they got some major powerhouses there, so.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole island, it's basically half the mutants. There's they haven't said it, but it's, you know, essentially 100 mutants live on this island, or, you know, near it, with and the other 100 have gone off to school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's 100 of them, and there's 15 Avengers or whatever.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, you know, based on that Avengers Justice League thing, there are a lot more Avengers than just these guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Plus, you know, like I said at the beginning, there's a couple that could go either direction. I mean, Namor, you know, while his loyalties are with the X-Men right now, he even says in here he's known Captain America for frickin' ever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, they're buddies. He was an Avenger for a while.
An Invader before that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a poor run of the Avengers, but he was still an Avenger for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Dr. Druid years, by the way.
Yeah. I think I saw some. I think I have a couple of those.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But the Avengers got some ass kickers. I mean, they got the Thing. They got Red Hulk. They've got, you know.
Yeah, but they're just raw power. I mean, you know.
They got Spider-Man doing the funky thing with the webs, whatever that is. What is he doing there? Sorry.
Just being Spider-Man. Because you notice some of them are holding on things to stay, I think, doing that to, you know, stable. That might be how he's keeping from falling off.
I thought they were going to be giant pogo sticks is what I thought they were going to be, so they could jump off the...
That's very possible.
Spider-Man's webs have gotten a lot stronger than I remember.
Yeah, he did hold up all those people, didn't he?
Like 30 people in an airplane wing and...
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He has access to, so if you guys don't read Amazing Spider-Man, but he has access to some awesome lab equipment now, and he's been building some really cool spider gadgets, including variations on the web.
I caught some of that in the Daredevil crossover. I'm looking forward to reading up to that point. I'm going to try to start reading through all those trades I've got. The very last one I have is Big Time. So,
you're in for a fun run.
Yeah, the Wade stuff that I read, the Gauntlet, is what I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, with the Punisher and, that should be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, the Omega Effect is the crossover coming up.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Gauntlet from Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's going to be good.
This series is going to be fun, and I'll be honest with you, I'm really looking forward to the Avengers versus X-Men, or whatever they're called, the the hit-em.
Reading the each other lots. Little interview with Axel, whatever his last name is, but yeah, those are going to come out, because this is coming out every other week, and that's going to come out, they just call it AVX. It's going to come out in between that, so they have like a weekly event.
So, but there's 12 issues of the main series, but only 6, right, of the
Right. But then they've got all those other tie-in issues too. And
oh my god, do they ever? Oh my god, every X title I think is tying in, and every Avengers title is tying in.
Yeah. Not every single issue, but certainly a good number of them.
Yeah, I mean, they all have at least one, and there's a couple that, you know, with the Avengers, and I think is it Uncanny? One of the X-Men titles, like, every single one for the next 5 months is
Are you guys going to get all those, or just skip them?
No. I will probably pick up Avengers versus X-Men. I like the first issue, and I got into the story. Like, it drew me in, and I want to see what side does what. And for all the action and stuff, it was pretty character-based, so I like that. Like, I'm in for the next issue for sure. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get any of the crossovers and stuff. Like, $3.99 book is plenty for me.
Yeah, I think I might just stick to those two, because I went through on the Comicsology website where you can do a pull list, and there is a bunch of them, because Avengers Academy ties in, you know, the Avengers, the New Avengers, even Secret Avengers ties in. It's going to be rough.
I'm trying to think. I already get Wolverine and the X-Men, so I'll be getting that, though, whatever issues of that, automatically. I don't know if there's an issue of New Mutants that ties in. I'm pretty certain there is, but I'll be getting that.
Yeah. Uncanny does. I think X-Men Legacy does too.
I don't read those, so it's not gonna impact me, and I don't plan on reading them. None of the I made a point, and I think I said this on Facebook a few months ago. I don't pick up Avengers anymore because of the lack of forward momentum in those books. I think Bendis is maybe reserving it for this title. His ability to tell a forward-moving story.
And he's going to take over the X-Men, too, supposedly, right?
Rumor.
Yeah, that's right. It is rumor, isn't it? Well, yeah, let's see.
Does his time on Avengers end with this, or is it...
That's what I understood from what I've read, yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Because he's setting up a lot of stuff, and also with that new Avengers title, the movie... based one with Hulk and Captain America.
Avengers Assemble, is that what it is?
Yeah. With him and Mark Bagley. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. I will be getting that as well, because I really like the two of them together, Mark Bagley and Ben.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wanted to read that creator on one. They're doing brilliant. Wait till it comes out in trade.
Well, you may be waiting a long time.
Oh, that's fine.
It's taking them forever to get.
Yeah.
So here's
all right. So
there's a ton of tie-ins, and it doesn't sound like we're going to be supporting Marvel's bottom line much between the three of us.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. Just those two is plenty, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, here we go. So we got Avengers X-Men, Avengers 25 through 30, Uncanny 11. And a couple more new Avengers 24 and a couple more.
Might pick up the new Avengers 25 just because it relates to Iron Fist. Because he's supposed to find a connection to the Phoenix Force too. But if you look at, you got Secret Avengers is them trying to stop it. And you got Uncanny, you got Red Hulk and Colossus, you know, beat down. That might be interesting. I don't know.
I might
try alternate sources to read those.
So theories time. My first theory is that Cyclops is hoping for Jean Grey to come back, and my other theory is that Hope is not actually the Phoenix Force, or not. They're misleading us with that.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. That just might be how her powers are manifesting, that effect. It might not actually have anything to do with the Phoenix Force.
I think it's a misdirect. I think it's almost like too obvious. Or maybe that's the point. It's like, oh, it's so obvious, we might as well do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crap.
But I think they'll have big changes after this, though, for sure.
Nothing will be the same?
I don't think so.
Everything you thought you knew was wrong.
Yeah, I have a feeling that'll be true too. Okay, well, I need to wrap this up.
All right.
Have we covered this sufficiently? You think?
I think we have.
I would like I'd like to revisit it every once in a while. I think
I think this comes out every other week. I think we get two issues worth of stuff, and then we can cover it again. What do you think?
I'm down with that.
Because you know, these two came out one week after the other, and then you had the Infinite thing.
For some of you,
yeah, yeah. There's a thing about that. They found out that were doing that. They contacted them and told them to stop. And as long as they did, they didn't do anything to them. So
that was nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're selling our comics. You need to stop.
Stop making us money.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think we get about two issues worth of stuff, then we can do another battle report. And those post game things that Newsarama's doing kind of give a little bit of focus to it too. So. But anyway, so yeah, let us know what you think. Send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can actually comment on the actual episodes at the talesfromthelongbox.com as they're posted, or you can come check us out on our Facebook page. We've got a lot of conversations going on there.
And our page membership there is like doubled in the last week.
Yeah, I'm not sure why my IT buddy Rod added certain people on there. Some of them I know probably like comics, but there's some of them like no way they like comics. I think you might have put them in the wrong group by accident. But hey, you know, if they stay, great. Because we're up to 88 members, I think. Now.
Just as long as they pay their dues.
Yeah, as long as they pay their dues, they can, you know, whatever. And I put a little link in there about the Green Lantern Third Army event coming up. We might do a little info on that, and maybe Night of Owls even. We're going to have to, with some holidays coming up, have to double up on episodes so we're not missing anything. Might do, figure out a way to do that. But anyway, that's about it here, and let us know what you think, and thanks for listening. Anything else, guys?
No, I'm good.
Nope, that's it. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And we're out.